The Splendor of You. Here is your host, Debbie Sansone Schlaprisi.
Hi, I'm Debbie Schlaprisi. Welcome to The Splendor of You. Isn't life like a seesaw? Some time ago, I was talking to a real dear friend, and basically, he was explaining to me, you know, that a lot of life is you're scampering around to get the middle of that seesaw. Well, I feel like I'm continually trying to balance on a seesaw, and one side is up, and then one side's down. Well, a few days ago, one side was down, and now, a few days later, one side is up. And I still manage to scamper around in the middle trying to get my balance. I don't know if you ever feel like that, but I do, and lots of people I know do. That whole idea, up, down, and we're in the middle trying to figure out how to make it all sort of balance. And in the midst of all of that balancing and up and down, what does Jesus say to us? He says, "Don't fear, I am with you always." Okay, sounds simple enough. You and I need never fear. Great. Might take a lifetime to master that and on. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus tells us, "Whoever endures to the end will be saved." In life, you know, there's beginnings and ends to many things. So when I see this about enduring, first of all, I think about my brother. My brother was very, very young, with 7 children, when his wife passed away. And he's been widowed now almost 20 years. And I remember he would say to me over and over again that his spiritual director would say to him, "Tony, just endure, endure." And he would say to me, "I have to endure." And in those days, I wasn't really sure what that meant. But I really see now that, yeah, as we continue to carry and walk with whatever struggles, whatever cross we may be carrying, as we endure that and ask for our Lord along the way, He will help us. And in the end, we will be saved. In life, there's beginnings and ends to so many things. And I don't think this is just, you know, theology by Debbie. What do I know? I only know what my heart tells me. And holier people, much more smarter and holier than I am, share with me. But the idea here is, I think that those pieces of scripture, not I think, I know, can be applied to regular life. I know it. God tells us what? That His word is living. It's alive. That means it doesn't die. It's not just for thousands of years ago. So in life, there are beginnings and ends to many things. And that whole idea of Jesus saying in Matthew 10:22, "Whoever endures to the end will be saved." If you're up against it right now, this might be the time to think about, whoa, God, help me. Give me the strength. Help me to endure. One of my daughters, well, actually, two of my daughters have complicated pregnancies right now. And one of them just received a call and said to me that she had received some discouraging news. Thank God the baby is still well, but she's been told that her regular activity has to be greatly curtailed. She still has some time left in this pregnancy. As with all young women who are not young women who are pregnant, there's no drinking alcohol. That's a given. But in addition now, she can't work out. That's a big deal for her. She can't travel around as she's used to. She can't drive as she was used to. Many, many of her activities and the lifestyle that both she and her husband are used to and enjoy and cherish has changed. She and her husband are being called to endure this transition, this suffering, to the end for a few more months. And God willing, they'll be blessed with a new little life in their arms in the end of this pregnancy. Now, certainly scripture speaking to us about the end of our lives, but I'm looking at this applying to right where I am, right where you are. What are you called to endure right now? Is it the loss of a loved one? Maybe the loss of a dream or what seems to be an abbreviation of a dream for yourself or your kids or those you love? Is it enduring illness? Is it a disappointment? What are you being asked? What am I being asked to endure? Is it financial setbacks or emotional ups and downs? How do we endure to the end, Lord? You know, it's like, okay, I get that you're with me. I get that I'm to endure, but it's hard and I'm weak. And you know, there are times where God just doesn't seem present, and our problems continue. Here's what Holy Mother Church teaches us, no matter what. The answer to every prayer, every dilemma, every worry rests in the Eucharist. God promises, and He doesn't lie. In the Eucharist, what happens to us? We come face to face with Jesus alive. We couldn't be closer to Him than if we were one of the apostles in the time when our Lord walked on this planet. You and I are promised that Jesus is alive, God-man in the Eucharist. In John 6, verse 30 to 35, has just come up recently in the Mass readings. The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do?" In other words, do something, you know, make this happen, solve this, and then I'll really believe in you. And the Lord tells us what? I'm not of this world. God's ways are not our ways. It's mystery, and a mystery that draws you and me deeper. It's not always like, voila, all set, got it. Got it solved for you. Just pulled the rabbit out of the hat, got everything taken care of. You're set. See you later. Jesus isn't like that. Jesus gives us His very self. And it's through the reception of Jesus in the Eucharist, God-man, that your life, your problems, your joys, your worries are surrendered to Him. And those, as well as you, become transformed. You and I become transformed in the Eucharist. What better way for you and for me to surrender and be one with Jesus than through the Eucharist, adoration, reception of Holy Communion? The answers to life's problems, to our problems, rest in the Eucharist. That's the way it is. And when the crowd, like me, is sort of like, "Hey, Lord, you know, my problems are still continuing. I've been praying to you. You sure don't seem like you're present here. You know, help me to understand. You know, speak to me. Show me the way." And when our Lord says, you know, "I'm not of this world," what else does He say to you and me? When we're like that crowd and we say, "Jesus, you know, what signs can you do? Do something, and then I'll really believe in you. What can you do? What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Get busy on my issues. I gave it to you. I haven't seen much change." And what does the Lord say to us? Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you." They went on to say, "Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, and it's written He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So basically what happened? They're saying they were hungry and they got fed. So we need you to do some things for us. You and I, we probably have a list. "Lord, could you do this? How about this one with my child? How about this one with my loved one? How about this situation at work? How about this dream I have? How about this easier life I'd like to have?" Because, you know, you did these miracles in the Bible in the time when you walked the planet. How about doing it for me right now? And what does Jesus say to us as He said to them? He said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." My friends, we have to keep on believing. We have to endure until the end. I'm sure if you look back, if I look back in my life on times, in fact, just as my daughter was sharing about the difficulty of what she's about, with this problem pregnancy, with this situation of activities being curtailed, the possibility of week-long hospital visits when she already has another little baby. You know, how is she going to do all this? And I have to tell you, here I am, you know, so many years after giving birth to my 5 children. And when she was talking about it, all of a sudden I was brought back. I was brought back to those problem pregnancies I had. I was brought back to those worries and those prayers that I kept going before our Lord with. I was brought back to being, you know, in my late 20s and having my children. and having every one of them in the neonatal intensive care unit. I don't share that like I'm so, I mean, I've been blessed beyond words, but I was brought back to all of that. I was brought back to when they said, you want to be able to carry this baby? You're on bed rest. You can't go to work. You can't carry your other babies. You have to do this. You have to do that. And when I look back on it, my friends, I can still remember crying in that doctor's office when he said, you have to go to the hospital right now. I had another complication. And I remember thinking, well, what about my little ones at home? What am I going to do? And I remember I started to cry, and the doctor was fabulous. He wasn't, he didn't exactly have the best bedside manner, but he had what I needed. And that was great medical care and straightforward direct talk. And basically it was, you have no options, Debbie. You want this baby? You go to the hospital. You're going to be there for a while. We'll bring you back home and you'll be going back again. That's the way it was. And you know, when I look back and I think of how I must have felt in those days, and now I can fast forward to where God's taken me in my life, He took care of every one of those issues. I didn't walk out of that doctor's office and not have to go to the hospital. I didn't walk out of that doctor's office and not have to deal with my other children who I couldn't be present to. I didn't walk out of that doctor's office, you know, and all of a sudden be cured immediately. But I was. I was healed with time. We did get the answer to our prayers. We did have another baby, praise God. At another time when we prayed, that little baby didn't come home with us. She went on to heaven. But in all of these, my friends, and I know you can cite these examples in your own life as well, Jesus being present with us and being with us and having our faith and going to God with these real issues of our lives make a difference. It may not be an automatic miracle, but it's a miracle nonetheless. And my life is all the better. Looking back after almost 40 years, I can see where God has taken me. We just sometimes need a little time, friends, to connect the dots. We need some time. So let me just share with you a little excerpt from The Splendor of You. And this has to do with the bread that we can't live without. And this is again from John verse 6. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. John 6 verse 51. More than 12 centuries ago, around the year 750 AD, in a little village of Lanciano, Italy, there lived a Basilian monk who began to doubt that the host he consecrated for Mass was the real body and blood of Jesus. One day, while he was celebrating Mass, struggling with the idea of transubstantiation in his heart, the monk consecrated the bread and wine. After pronouncing, "This is my body, this is my blood," something really extraordinary and miraculous happened. Blood began dripping from the host. It's said that after a long period of this almost euphoric silence, with tears falling down his face, he turned to the congregation saying, "Here is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he has made visible to me, that may I may no longer be a disbeliever, but a believer." End of quote. That Eucharistic miracle of Lanciano is still there after all these years, and it's there for pilgrims to see. And many, many years ago, my friends, I saw it with my very own eyes. In fact, I think it was about 35 years ago that I saw it. And that host I saw, it was indeed real human flesh and blood. And the scientific studies have verified it. And there's more. There's even more to it. Scientists examined the host, concluded that the flesh consists of the muscular tissue of a human heart. I remember those many years standing there in that little village in Italy, and it really hit me. This is Jesus. How often do I forget that? Forget it in the midst of my problems. Forget that the answers lie where? Go to communion, Debbie. Go to adoration. Give it all to Jesus. My friends, it's there for you as well. How often do we forget this, even when we're walking up the aisle to receive communion during Mass? For me, how often have I thought about other things on my mind just as I sort of waltz down the aisle? How often have you and I been distracted from that, the greatest reality of all time? That Eucharistic miracle in Italy is further evidence to you and to me that the Eucharist is indeed the body and blood of Jesus, veiled under the guise of bread, but the, nonetheless, it's Jesus, it's Him. This communion that you and I are blessed to receive, it's truly alive. The Venerable Blessed Fulton Sheen says that. He said, remember, it is truly alive. You and I, we have to ask God, God, give me the grace to see, to recognize you in the Eucharist. You know, remember the apostles on the road to Emmaus? They didn't recognize Jesus, and yet he was right there. He was with them. It's only after the breaking of the bread that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. You know, at times, maybe you and I, maybe we're like the apostles on the road to Emmaus. We're worried, we're wearied, we're distracted, we're caught up, we're preoccupied. We're looking forward or behind us, and we miss the moment of the present now, of Jesus' presence to us in the moment of receiving our Lord in the Eucharist, in the moment of stepping into adoration. The body and blood of Jesus heals, consoles, strengthens, and empowers us. It is the food for the soul and for our entire being. Friends, it's the answer to our problems. How will my daughter endure this tough pregnancy, she and her husband? They'll endure it by receiving the Eucharist. They'll endure it by going to Blessed Sacrament. Like the crowd, I say to Jesus, do something. Fix this. Then I'll believe in you even more. And Jesus says to you and me, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for peace, for love, for balance, for the answer to whatever may plague you? Go to the Eucharist. Go to the Eucharist. St. Faustina writes in her diary words from Jesus, and this is what they are. When I come into a human heart in Holy Communion, my hands are full of all kinds of graces, which I want to give to the soul, but souls do not even pay attention to me. They leave me to myself and busy themselves with other things. They treat me as a dead object. In closing, I share this prayer with you. Lord, please grant that I may see, truly see you in the Eucharist, truly believe in your real presence. I'm like your disciples, followers on the road to Emmaus. You draw near to me, walk with me, and I still do not see you, recognize you. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Heal my doubt. Strengthen my faith. Open my eyes. Give me patience. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for making yourself available to me for always. You are my lifeline. Please, in your name, draw me to you. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. Help me in the burdens and worries of my life. I believe. Help my belief. Amen. So, my friends, get to the Eucharist. Let us go forward to receive our Lord with newfound zeal and love for him. God, give us the grace we need to be able to receive you, to see you, to believe in you, to understand you. Ask Our Lady. A beautiful priest once said to me, Debbie, when you're on your way when you're on your way to receive our Lord in the Eucharist, and you're standing in line and you're going forward down that aisle, ask Our Lady to be with you, to help you, to ready your soul and your heart for what is about to happen. So, my friends, God bless you. Thanks for tuning into The Splendor of You. And remember, the greatest reality and miracle of this life is our Lord in the Eucharist. He is alive there. God bless you. Thanks again for tuning in to The Splendor of You. That's www.splendorofyou.com. www.splendorofyou.com. As soon as you're able, make that spiritual communion. Get to the Eucharist. Or get to adoration. God bless you. Take care now.
This has been The Splendor of You with Debbie Sansone Schlaprezy.